Okay, I'm sitting down with Barry Crago, who is the incumbent in House District 40, and we're going to ask a few questions of him and give you the opportunity to answer and tell people a little bit about yourself. So, number one, what made you decide that you wanted to re-up for this position?
Well, first of all, Aaron, thanks for coming today and sitting down with me and doing this. This is a great opportunity for people to hear what I have to say and get an idea of where I stand on things and why, as you asked, why I'm doing this. So when I ran 2 years ago, I said I was going to do certain things. I didn't really talk about necessarily policies. I just said I was going to work for the people, and I was going to work hard, and I was going to do my homework, and I was going to read the bills, and I was going to take the time to try to actually make a difference. And I think I did that. It's the hard part is, you know, I think sometimes the voters expect instant results from their legislator. And as a there is a little bit of seniority when you get to the legislature. And as a freshman, you've got to build up some credibility before you just march in and start demanding or trying to change the world. And it doesn't work that way. And if you take the time to earn credibility and earn respect, I think it pays dividends down the road. And so that's really how I approach that. And so I have a lot of love. You know, I took the time to get to know people on all spectrums within the legislature, all the other members, and try to build that credibility, try to build that respect, mutual, right? And then going forward, I can use that to benefit our people within House District 40 to solve some problems that are maybe particularly important to us here in Buffalo, Arvada, Claremont, Story Now, etc. So that's why I want to go back. I have a lot of things there's a lot of things that are going to come our way that I think I can make a difference on in Cheyenne because of how I spent my last 2 years just putting my nose to the grindstone and doing the hard work.
So it's a lot about building relationships down there, and that helps you out in the future.
I think so. I mean, that's how I approached it. There might be different opinions about that, but I think generally speaking, if you go down there and you pick out somebody that, for example, I have watched people like Mike Greer, who's a very well-respected legislator from over the mountain, and he was Speaker Pro Tem, and people trusted him. You know, he didn't agree with them necessarily on the issues, but his background is very similar to mine. We're both ranchers. We're both lawyers. We're both business people. But he was always honest with people. You know, I don't like your bill, and here's why. Or I do like your bill, but you could make it better by doing this. And he may end up voting against their bill, or he might vote for it. But he was honest with people, and that's how he built trust and relationships. Doesn't mean you like their bills or you like their politics. It just means when they come ask you a question, they can trust the answer you give them. And I think that's super important down there if you're going to try to accomplish, when you start accomplishing big things and attacking big issues, you got to be able to talk to lots of different people across the political spectrums. And, you know, I don't vote with a lot of those people that I would say I can talk to. Doesn't mean we vote the same. It just means we can at least have a conversation.
Good. All right. I'm going to give you the opportunity here. Tell me about, or tell us about yourself, the human side of Barry Crago. Tell us, you know, about you, your family, your likes, dislikes, blah, blah, blah. Tell us who you are.
Okay, sure. So, as you know, you and I have been to a lot of meetings together over the past decade. I'm a deputy county attorney. I started doing that work back in 2007. So I've worked through a couple different administrations in the county attorney's office. I love that work. I love public service. I love the people of Johnson County. So this is sort of an extension of that for me, the House District position and the House District race. It's just a way I can give back. So, you know, I grew up in South Dakota, went to high school in South Dakota, but my mom's family's all from Wyoming. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my grandmother was in the legislature, and so in the Wyoming legislature in Wyoming for quite a few years. And so, you know, I have a lot of deep ties to Wyoming. As soon as I was able, I became a Wyomingite. lived here since I was 18. Graduated, went to Casper College, went on to the University of Wyoming, got my bachelor's degree in agricultural economics, went back and got my law degree. And so I've been in Wyoming forever. Wyoming's been great to me. And this is just hopefully my way of giving back. My family. My wife, Kristen, is also a lawyer. We met in law school. But she would rather be the principal at the Christian school here in Buffalo. So she does that. That's kind of her job, is she is up there. She's a teacher and the principal, so she's kind of the administration. It's a very small school, but well-attended. It's a great deal. And I have two girls. One's going to be a senior in high school, Lily, and Caroline's going to be a sophomore, and they're both very accomplished young ladies. Lily just was chosen to go to Girls Nation, so she went to Girls State and then was selected to go on to Girls Nation, so she's preparing for that. They have to do tons of homework for this, prepare bills and resolutions and before they even get there. So I think it'll be a very eye-opening experience for her, because they went to Girls State, and of course in Wyoming we're a very conservative state, right? We don't have a lot of the left side of the political spectrum, so to speak. Well, when she goes to Washington, D.C., she's going to have a totally different experience. And she's super conservative kid, so it'll be fun for her. I'm super blessed. I have a great family. You know, we Kristen's family, my wife's family, has a ranch down at the Hole in the Wall, Willow Creek Ranch. And so we spend some time down there, not as much as we used to, unfortunately. We're following kids and doing the political stuff, and Kristen's running the school, and that's kind of our life, you know. We're going a lot of different directions, but we have a great life and live in a great place, so.
Good. Okay. This is kind of an odd question, but let's talk about qualifications. You've had the job for 2 years, but what would you say to voters that, why should they trust you for another term? Work that in there, I guess.
I think that's a great question. I would say, number one, because I'm willing to listen to all viewpoints. I mean, anybody can call me anytime. My phone number is on our Facebook. It's on the legislature's website. I put my personal cell phone on there. You can swing by the county attorney's office. You can swing by my private law office, pick up the phone. However you want to contact me, I try to always be available. And I'm willing to listen to everybody. Now, I don't agree with everybody always, but I try to listen. And I guess I think that's the number one qualification for a good legislator, is to have an open mind. Now, do I still have to lean on what I would call my conservative values when we start making tough decisions? Absolutely. But that, you know, that can be part and parcel of the puzzle that goes together to make these difficult decisions when we're talking about what the people want and what the people need. And you know, a lot of times, the difficulty, of course, is when we get into really difficult issues, the reason they're difficult is because the public split about 50-50, right? And so those become tough, and those become judgment calls. But at the end of the day, I guess my number one qualification is, in my opinion, that I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to talk to people, and I have an open mind. I'm not a one-issue person. I'm not focused on one particular thing. I'm just focused on the people of our district. Now, as far as my job performance, we've tackled some pretty big issues over the last couple years. Let's go back to the first year. It was kind of a weird year. We were still in COVID, and things weren't, I mean, they weren't quite exactly normal. By the time we got around to the second year, I'd say they were much better. First year, I was just getting my feet under me, doing what I thought was the right thing, and trying to, like I said, build those relationships, talk to people, learn the ropes, not speak out a turn and think I knew everything, because I didn't, and I still don't, but I definitely didn't then, and you're just learning the process. Year two rolls around, and you get some street cred, so to speak, right? And you can get some things done. And so I think we did a couple great things last year, looking at it from a job performance standpoint. we got the mineral ad valorem thing finally shored up. No longer are they going to be able to ignore us and not pay their mineral taxes. If you or I don't pay our taxes, they come take our house. The same thing is going to happen to them now. If they don't pay their taxes, the state of Wyoming will close in their wells. That should have happened 20 years ago. It didn't. It happened this year. And I'm super proud that we were able to get that done into the legislature, because that was really a push by Johnson County. I mean, it originated here, and we made it happen. So that's a great deal. Redistricting. We had to fight really hard in Johnson and Sheridan County. And most people don't know kind of the ins and outs of where that went. But Johnson and Sheridan County were sort of the targets for getting split up to make other districts work. And they were willing to cut out parts of Johnson County. They were willing to cut out parts of, for example, there's a map that drew out everything west of the city of Buffalo would go over the mountain. There was another map that took part of all of the KC, Southern Johnson County community, and took it to the west. And then, of course, there was the map, the original map that actually came out, took all of Eastern Sheridan, which is part of our district, and shoved it into Campbell County. And so we worked really hard to make that happen, so that we didn't cut up our district. And so I'd say that was one of the big things that we were able to do, you know, to accomplish. And then the last one, which is really local for us, was the veterans home lease up here. And we got a statute passed that says the state land around the veterans home that a lot of us use as a walking trail and recreational, and that of course the veterans get to look at every day, and we wanted to protect that, can't be leased anymore. And so that's protected forever. So those are just three of the things that really come to mind that are local to us that I can say, hey, here's what I did. Here's how I helped us in Johnson County and House District 40.
But those are three very big issues that came up that were actually not problems because of the legislature and you, of course. So big issues. I have a follow-up to this. Because you touched on this when you were answering that question. I don't know if you've had these issues. And if not, and it's not really, I don't think it's really an issue in Wyoming, because most people are pretty conservative here. But how would you vote if there was an issue that came up that was against your core beliefs, as you put them? In there, would you struggle with voting for what your constituents want against what you want, or how would you work that out in that instance?
So I would. That's a great question. I don't think it's going to happen to me, like right. You said, because we live in a very conservative district, and I'm a very conservative person. But if it did, then the voters elected me to represent their interests, and if they're overwhelmingly there, if 90% of the people that I've talked to said, I want this, but my personal interest is divergent from that, I'm going to do what they tell me. It's that simple.
Or ask of you.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. Right. Yeah, exactly. So no, I'm going to do what the voters want me to do. The problem is that never happens, right? I mean, it is never that simple when you get down there. I mean, those really complex issues are, I'm getting, you know, email to email during session. Don't vote for this. Do vote for this. Don't vote for this. You know, and it just goes down.
It just goes right down.
And those ones, so you just have to ferret that out and try to make the best decision possible. Or sometimes, which this is one of, I guess, the things that I think I'm fairly decent at, is finding compromise in between those positions. And there are, that can happen. Just requires some thought and some effort in getting the two sides together and say, okay, maybe we're all right. Or maybe we can all be right. Or maybe we can all be wrong, but we'll do it together. And I think that's one thing that a good legislator can do, is find that spot in the middle that maybe not everybody's happy. You know, in the legal world, we say a good settlement is where everybody leaves the room mad. Well, sometimes I think that could be true in lawmaking too, is a good settlement is where we all leave the room not happy, but it's a result that all of us can live with.
Perfect. Okay. What do you consider to be the top issues that you'll need to tackle during this next session, if you are voted in again?
Yeah, so...
If, what do you see in the future?
Sure. So if I'm reelected, I think there... Of course, budget's always, you know, a big deal no matter what. And so we just got to keep an eye on the state's budget, try to keep a conservative budget. The last year's budget was very conservative. In the overall scheme of things, I think the statistic was it's the lowest in 10 years, which is great. But we can still keep an eye on that and maybe even do better. And so budget's always going to be out, hanging out there. But as far as, you know, non-budgetary items, taxes, I mean, you know, the property tax issue is a big one right now for everybody. And I think we need to come up with some solutions on how to solve that problem. You know, it's not that maybe some people didn't see it coming, or maybe they did. You know, Jackson Hole's been complaining about this for 20 years. It just hasn't affected the rest of Wyoming like this until COVID. And now we're all here. And we need to figure out solutions, and not just, in my opinion, not just ones that affect one class of people, whether it's the elderly or the poor. It's the whole spectrum. 30% on your property tax in Johnson County, which is what most of us got, right? You included, probably, is too much. And so I think we need to go look at that, figure out how we're going to fix that. There's lots of solutions. You know, there's the whole acquisition idea. There's a cap idea. There's the refund, which we voted, you know, last year we actually voted to fully fund that. And so there is some money out there through the state on the refund program, but it has to be instituted at a local level. And that one gets a little bit tougher because then people have to know about it and they have to come do it. And it has some other parameters. Whereas if we can just go in and fix the problem statutorily somehow, it's going to be much easier. Now, it may involve some constitutional work. We may have to look at some constitutional amendments. I think there's some of us that have asked, including myself, for some research on that, find out what exactly, how far we can go without messing with the Constitution. What can we do as the legislature, or what do we need to do as the citizenry to actually maybe possibly change the Constitution so that we can do what we need to do. So,
well, it sounds like that you've got at least a parameter of different ideas that you can bring down there to discuss and figure it out, which is great. Following up on that, I heard, I believe it was this morning, that the governor or somebody is asking the governor to form a special session. Did you hear about this? To deal with property taxes. What are we looking at there? Is that feasible? Is that going to happen? Do we know yet? Or what?
So I know as much as you do. I read it in the newspaper or online newspaper this morning. And so I don't know, Aaron. I have no idea what may or may not happen there. Maybe we can do a follow-up interview later and I can, once I have more information. But I don't know. I only know as much as you, which is a group of Republicans, not necessarily, it wasn't legislators either. It was just a group of maybe Republican leaders, some of the party leaders or something, had sent a letter to the governor. That's all I got out of it, asking for a special session. I'm not sure we need one because we probably can fix it. We can probably go back in and fix it at any point. I'm not saying we do or we don't. I'd have to probably give it some more thought, which I really haven't spent much time on it. But hopefully we could go in next session and fix the problem and do it that way. But I think they're worried about the tax bills are going to go out, and I don't know if we can retroactively go back and change that. You know, we may have some constitutional problems there.
Right.
We can always change it going forward. Sure. It just might be difficult going backwards. Mill levies have already been set and all that stuff. It will create a huge mess. Whereas, you know, maybe we go forward and do a reset and say, okay, yeah, last year everybody had high taxes. Maybe we can't fix that, but we can fix it going forward. And we can reset those values back to some number 2-3 years ago.
That was one of the things that came up that I heard, was they were saying, well, we can reset this to 2017 or 2019 levels, which sounds positive initially. But then that was the first thing I thought of was, wait a minute, is this going to be retroactive or in the future? And so that's one of the issues that I came up with this, and obviously, you know, you're thinking about this as well. So,
yeah,
hopefully, something can get done.
Something will get done. It's just the public is, you know, it's the number one issue in Wyoming. I think everybody I talk to, knocking on doors, this is what they want to talk about, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. They opened up their assessment. Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Yeah! Wow! Exactly. And so, every legislator, every person running for the state house or the state senate is getting the same interview question, the same conversation when they knock on doors, and so something will happen. It's just where do we end up, and what's the solution to the problem? Because I think there's more options than just one. And this is why I think it's important to have the public's input on a lot on this one, especially, you know, maybe if reelected, my idea would be is we get some of these ideas, we hold some town halls, and we listen to the people and say, okay, here's five things we can do. Here's the pros and cons of each one of these. And what do you guys and gals think's the best for us? And that's the one I'll push. And then we better have a backup. Like, what's our backup? Because we may not get exactly. We better have a plan A and a plan B, and then let's go to Cheyenne and do that.
Good. Okay. Other issues besides this, we all, you said, this is the big one.
Yep. No, I think that's a big one. Education. I mean, I think we need to continue to talk about education and education and funding.
Figuring out funding, because we're starting to hear this from people that maybe the educational funding system is overfunding. Is that what we're hearing? Or do we need, what do we need to do with education funding?
I'm not sure I have the answer other than I know it's an issue. I think part of it is, you know, we had the forum last night and I mentioned there, look, the Supreme Court has said we have to do this, 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 and this. You know, they've given us this laundry list essentially. And we have to provide the quote unquote basket of goods. And so we're limited to some degree as to what we can do, because we can go change the model as the legislature. We just have to be prepared for the lawsuit that's going to follow from the schools and say, hey, you're required to give us this amount of money. I don't really want to go about it that way. I think we as the legislature need to have some really hard discussions with the schools, which they do. I mean, I'm not saying they don't, but we need to continue to have those hard discussions and say, look, where can we make a difference here? You know, one of the things I mentioned is 2 years ago, my first session, there was we didn't even pass a school funding bill. I don't know if you remember that, because we couldn't agree on, you know, some people wanted tax cuts. Some people wanted additions. Excuse me, not tax cuts. Some people wanted to add taxes into it. Some people wanted to take stuff out of it. And there were some of us that, you know, were willing to do maybe something in between. You know, for example, I thought we should get rid of the ghost teacher insurance provision, which sends money to the school districts for insurance for teachers who don't exist, positions that don't exist. I want to say it was around $50 million or something. It seemed like a good step. And I wasn't for the taxes. I didn't support adding another. And it was a conceptual tax or a contingent tax that only kicked in if LISRA, the legislature savings account, got below a certain amount. It only kicked in then. I wasn't supportive of that. Didn't want to do it. But and so we never even really had a vote on the bill. And so the model just continued to stay the same way, it was. And so just continued on with the escalators and the things that people are talking about. Well, we just need to get back in there and dig into that more and spend some time. It's just such a hot topic because there are people on both sides of the issue. I'm probably one of the guys that's maybe more in the middle that would say, I think we can find some compromise here, but we're just going to have to make up our mind that we're going to do it. But education and education funding, you know, obviously there's all these other political things going on with education right now that aren't really Wyoming based. They're federally based, that they're trying to make us do that we don't want to do. And we got to fight those, you know, that's a big, and that kind of falls under the whole umbrella of right now, federal overreach, right? We have so many things we're looking at coming at us from the federal level that, and those aren't necessarily conservative or liberal ideas. It's just protecting the state's rights to do what the state thinks best for them. The 10th Amendment, right? Those are some of the big things that I see as from a, you know, like hot button stuff you see on TV, right? Not down in the nitty gritty functioning of state government, but the political issues. We still got to keep working on those. And then one that I think is kind of important to me and a lot of people in Johnson County is mental health. You know, I'd really like us to keep pushing that issue and finding solutions. We don't have the facilities to take care of people when they need it, and we need to figure out a way to do that. And it's, you know, it's a big issue in our county. I mean, it hits home more than it should.
Sheridan, Johnson County, both.
Yep.
Okay. Those are my questions, Barry. I'm going to give you a minute if you would like to wrap things up, talk to your constituents and
sure,
whatnot.
So all I'd say is I'm Barry Crago. I'm running for re-election for House District 40. I'd like to go down and continue the work I've been doing for the last 2 years, continue to represent the people of House District 40 and put in the work and the hours and the time necessary to represent their interests and do a good job. And like I said, if you have any questions or want to contact me, you can call me on my cell phone anytime, 307-267-9789. And thanks for the opportunity, Aaron.
Okay. That was Barry Crago. We were talking about his running for a second term in House District 40. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, thank you.